We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Back here on Cody and Gold, Alex Gold alongside Cody Tapp, Nick Schwert producing the show. We'll get to the flaws in the AFC across the board. A little bit of news on the free agent front. We had talked the last 24 hours or so about the possibility of former Texans defensive end Whitney Mercilus finding his way to Kansas City. Well, Aaron Wilson, who covers the Texans, reporting that Mercilus expected to sign with the Green Bay Packers, per a league source of his. So they've been banged up quite a bit, and this would be the second veteran that gets cut this year that would sign with them. They had already signed Jalen Smith, of course, a former Cowboys linebacker, a week or so ago, and now the Packers not messing around. They're trying to do whatever they can to help out their team, who, of course, is also positioned to go on a potential championship run. So so much for, and assuming that report is true, so much for Whitney Mercilus coming to Kansas City, and would have maybe given the Chiefs some more flexibility at the defensive line spot to move Chris Jones around. So can keep on searching as the trade deadline's November 2nd. But as we were talking earlier in the show, I just don't think with the cap space the Chiefs have that there's much they can really do at the trade deadline without giving up, you know, a high pick. Yeah.
In that case, what do I want them to trade? Nothing.
Right.
Like, I'm not willing to trade off whatever the pick value would be for the money that they can't afford just to try to solve the problems. And no one that they're going to find available is going to really solve their problems. It might make them slightly better on defense, but it's not going to, I seriously doubt, almost 0% chance it was going to be the difference between them winning or losing a Super Bowl. It was just going to be one of those moves that hopefully helped the other guys who were going to need to maybe help you win a Super Bowl. I'm fine if they just stand pat at the trade deadline. The Whitney Mercilus deal, maybe there'll be another free agent pass rusher who becomes available. Maybe not. Taco Charlton wasn't protected yesterday in his practice squad stuff. Another guy who could possibly, Kansas City could go pluck if they wanted to, similar to that of Whitney Mercilus. But I don't blame them for, you know, considering it by all means, but the Packers obviously need pass rush up as well. They've also had injuries at that position.
Coming up in about 8 minutes, we'll start finalizing our four teams. We've been eliminating teams all the way back since training camp started with the goal of post week six of the NFL season, having to make a decision. Each of us are our four teams, AFC, NFC championship games. So we'll get to that here in just a little bit. But before the season as well, we looked at it and we said, you know what, every team in the AFC has a fatal flaw, but you know what, what's the flaw of Kansas City? Like, I remember having this conversation up in St. Joe.
It's defense, by the way, in shocking, case you guys want to go back in time and actually answer that question.
Shockingly, that is the fatal flaw of this football team. That, and specifically turnovers and pass rush, but yes, overarching defense. I'm with you. What about everybody else in the AFC? Because we were going through these teams before. How many of these teams also have defense as their fatal flaw?
For the Chargers right now, that's the answer.
I think there's another team, too. And it maybe speaks to where the league is heading. We've had these discussions about how difficult it is now in the league. Like, is it this perfect storm of teams being so not only pass-happy but extra aggressive and all of this? Yeah, the Chiefs, I would say they're a fatal flaw. Defense, the Chargers, you're right, their defense, and specifically rush defense. The Browns, besides injuries right now,
they've been very bad.
Like, it's their defense. You could also say their fatal flaws is their injuries all over the place. Baker Mayfield not going to play in this game tomorrow night against the Denver Broncos. No Nick Chubb, no Kareem Hunt. They might be without their left tackle. Odell Beckham Jr. is hurt again. Jarvis Landry's on IR. Their fatal flaw might be injuries, but ultimately the unit, it's defense as well.
Before the Ravens, we thought it was their pass catchers, their skill position players. And I still think that that's the weakest unit for them on the field. But it doesn't, like, I assume their bigger problem is what happened to the Chiefs last year is, well, eventually all these injuries catch up with you. You'll get into these games and you won't have the talent to make up for the differences. You're missing your left tackle for the entire year. You're missing both your running backs. You're missing another wide receiver. To me, that's more of what would eventually be the fatal flaw, the Achilles heel of the Ravens this year than their pass catchers, don't you? Because the way Lamar Jackson's playing right now, it doesn't seem like it really matters who he's throwing the ball to.
They have a bad secondary, too, in Baltimore.
Especially with no Marcus Peters.
What's
got
weird
hurt
about their pass catchers is, like, all of a sudden, I remember, and I'm not doing this to attack you, but you wanted to have a Marquise Brown versus Mecole Hardman conversation that we are no longer allowed to have.
Their numbers were very similar based on just production but no longer.
Rashad Bateman just came back, second round pick, wide receiver. So they may still get what they want out of their skill position players.
Yeah, I don't think that that's it anymore. I would have answered that before the season, but I actually think it's much more likely that, like, the eventual run-in of injuries typically catches up with teams. You don't normally lose six guys to season-ending injuries, and then you're like, you know, we just covered that the entire year, guys. No problem.
Left tackle, that's
totally
a big
fine.
One. That's a big one.
Yes, it just feels like right now you're fine. We saw Kansas City go without their left tackle for months. Or right tackle, I guess.
But then it hurt
for months,
but
then eventually it burned you.
Yeah, it hurt them in depth ultimately in the play. The running back, clearly, we've talked a lot about positional value, and that the way that Ravens offense is built, just with running backs, I think we see in Lamar's ability. The running back, they could have another running back injury, and I don't think any of us would say, oh, it's a problem. Like, that's something they're going to keep having success. I honestly believe they could throw in whoever they wanted at running back based off of how their scheme works and also that Lamar Jackson's their quarterback. What's more problematic, to Nick's point, yeah, it's the left tackle in depth, and then they still have some issues in their secondary. This is why Harbaugh's a hell of a coach. Despite all of this, they're sitting there at 5-1. They found ways to win. But there's no doubt, like, if you're looking at flaws, the one team, though, despite their loss to Tennessee, you still say, all right, what is the true flaw of the Buffalo Bills? Because before, the defense was one of the top defenses in football, but then
we thought going into the year it was their defense, and it has not.
It's
been.
Not.
Not even in a little bit.
Post-Titans game, does it change for you? Because before...
They don't have a fatal flaw.
That's what's impressive still about the Bills. What is that fatal flaw? It's certainly not anything on offense.
Whatever you come up with is going to feel like a reach.
Yeah, because they've run the ball better than I thought they were going to do. They've played significantly better defense than I thought they were going to do. They're healthy. They still have good skill position players. Their pass rush has been better than Kansas City's. Any of it is hollow, right, Nick? Like, at best, you could be like, well, I guess they're going to have a slightly better pass rush. But Achilles heel? It's not that bad of a pass rush.
I think they're the most complete team in the NFL. Like, even the Cardinals, I think you can look at. I know we're not talking about the NFC.
Sure.
But even the Cardinals, like, for example, who are 6-0, you could look at and say, all right, I don't know how sustainable a lot of this is, where, like, you're running this sort of mundane offense and Kyler Murray is just playing like a superhero. And defensively, you're just relying upon a lot of forced turnovers and chaos. Like, it doesn't feel sustainable. What the Bills are doing feels like this is just who they're going to be all season long.
They're 10th in sacks. They score. They have the number one scoring defense and the number one scoring offense. How am I supposed to look at that and be like, you have a fatal flaw? Kansas City can still beat them in their version of a perfect game. But if you're looking for the thing that trips them up before they get to Kansas City, that answer does not exist. They're what we thought the Chiefs were going to be to a point. We thought Chiefs defense would be so fine that the defense wouldn't be there, like, it wouldn't be their undoing. The good news is for the Chiefs, I don't have, like, another answer besides that, unless you want me to say turnovers, which, again, I don't think is going to be the case.
Yeah, if you're going really specific, it gets into turnovers and it gets into pass rush, but overall it's still the defense.
But a large majority of what we're talking about is everyone, like, even the Ravens, you mentioned secondary, so it's like everyone's fatal flaw is their defense?
But the Bills right now? Yeah, I mean, the Bills has issues against Tennessee. We'll see if that will expose something, right? We'll see over the next couple weeks on a bye this week, but did the Titans find something, right, to expose? Because how many years we've been talking about one opponent did something to the Chiefs offense, right, and everybody looked at it, everybody thought there was a solution. All right, there was something Tennessee did. Maybe the answer was they had Derrick Henry. It might be as simple as that. But something they did that nobody could do against the Bills defense prior to that game. We'll see if that's something other teams can replicate. I tend to believe that it was more that the play action was caught them so off guard because you had to respect Derrick Henry, and Derrick Henry is a game changer. I think that was more than that, because if you just look at ranks and all that for the Bills, you across the board in league rank and offense, they're still second in points for, sixth in yards. Defense, even despite losing on in their performance on Monday night,
still number one scoring defense,
scoring yardage. I mean, they're number one passing yards, number two in touchdowns, third in interceptions.
They're not even bad at stopping the run. They've been good across the board.
And seventh in rushing yards. You start going through the league rank. If you're going to go and get real nitpicky, they're still league average in yards per attempt, 14th. That's like their worst thing they're doing right now.
Is running the ball a little bit. While Josh Allen's playing at an incredibly high level, we wouldn't care if Patrick Mahomes. We wouldn't call their running game a flaw if Patrick Mahomes is playing the way he's playing and they're 14th in yards per carry.
It's been a little bit in the red zone. That's it for the Bills. But that's not a.
And then you have to decide if you're going to pick up coaching. Like, is coaching, are they the worst coach team of these ones? Right? If you're ranking the coaches of the remaining, Chiefs, Chargers, Bills, Ravens, let's toss the Browns out because the injuries and stuff.
Yeah. Andy Harbaugh and Sean McDermott, by far the best three of the bunch. It's not close.
Right. So maybe that's where you get your advantage. Maybe that's your small window of opportunity. But it just depends on how you look at it. Because, like, the Chargers, I would still probably give the edge to McDermott because at least he's been to an AFC title game. Staley's only coached for 6 games.
Based on our conversations, this is interesting because it tells me that Nick's probably not going to pick this team as his 4. But when we were talking about the Cardinals and his belief, it's time. We've waited since we were up in St. Joe. We were sweating up there. We were interviewing players. Cody was kicking punts. We were handing out snow cones.
40-yard punts.
All of a 24-yard punt. Things like that were going on.
24-yard punt.
At training camp, we said, all right, let's start eliminating teams, but we're not going to eliminate them all before the season. Let's do this week by week. We've narrowed it down. Maybe you already made a mistake, but now is the time you got to pick who is in the AFC title game and the NFC title game with the remaining teams that you have left.
Let's just start here.
Can I ask this question?
Yeah.
Is there anybody that you guys have eliminated that you regret?
Ravens. I regret eliminating the Ravens.
I'm looking at my list. You know what? I haven't eliminated the Ravens. So no. No, there's not. I mean, the best team, I guess. I have eliminated the Ravens, and I
wish I had them available to me. That's all.
Who's the best?
I'm not saying I would choose them. I'm just saying I wish I had them.
Honestly, though, who's the best team you've eliminated record-wise? For me,
the Ravens.
Okay, for you. But I'm looking, seriously, Nick, you for you as well.
I eliminated the Cardinals last week.
Oh, you did. You eliminated the undefeated Cardinals.
I eliminated the Seahawks and the Cardinals last week. And I'm fine with that because I wouldn't pick them even if I had them.
So there you go.
NFC's too tough.
So let's at least start this.
Where are we going?
All taking the Bills, right? That's one of our 4 teams. We don't have to debate hotly over that.
All right, so Cody, obviously.
That's not what's going to determine which one of us spins the wheel here. No one's going to be dumb enough to say, you know what? I think I'm good on the team that's looked like the best team in the AFC right now.
If you want to zig while everybody else zags, that's not the worst idea in the world, but they're pretty good. So,
okay. We'll come back to the other AFC. What's the first spot in the NFC that you guys are taking? Because I'm on the Bills, of course, as well on the AFC. We're all in agreement there. What's the one of the teams on your NFC?
I will be taking the Los Angeles Rams.
Oh, man. I couldn't decide between them and a couple of others. I think it's really the NFC's really tough because you can make an argument for the Cardinals, Cowboys, Bucks, Rams, and Packers. Mm-hmm. And because I've eliminated more teams than you because I'm a hero and you're a coward, I, at this point, have, less options to choose from overall. Not that. I just think it's – and he eliminated the Cardinals, so he couldn't even choose them in that grouping. Oh, I – because I don't want us to all have the same teams, and I don't think that's the case. But right now, I'm still looking at the combination of coach and quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
Stafford's playing like one of the better coaches or one of the better quarterbacks, and they have one of the better coaches. So I am also going to take the Rams for now.
What do you mean for now? You can't. This is it. I want to emphasize that this is final.
For now.
Yeah. Subject to change in coming weeks.
So you go for your first team, you guys are both going Rams. I'm going to go with the Green Bay Packers for my first team in the NFC.
What? Wait, with LaFleur, you're going to go with LaFleur?
Yeah, and
bad defense.
I understand.
That is a bad defense. They're out here signing Whitney Merciless. Imagine how bad your defense is to be in the NFC.
So I'm looking at the Packers with Aaron Rodgers. He's on this tour this whole year to flip everybody off, to tell them he owns you. He does own most of you in the NFC. The Packers are the first team I'm going to put in on the NFC title game since we're forced to do that today.
I'll go first in the AFC because I feel bad that I didn't go first the last time.
Okay.
Saves me some time on the NFC as well because I'm very torn between two teams even still to this moment. Very back and forth. I only have 2 teams I haven't eliminated. I can only go with the Chargers or the Chiefs. And the simple reality is if those are the only 2 choices I have remaining because I've eliminated the Ravens, I have to choose the team that has been in the AFC title game for three consecutive years. And as much as I'm not super confident about the way the Chiefs are playing right now, my second team in the AFC will be the Chiefs. My problem is that I really eliminated myself just down to those two teams, and I can't choose an unproven Charger squad, even if they're the division favorite right now. I can't do it. So, Bills, Chiefs for me. I hope we're not all the same across the board.
I mean, if you've been listening to this show for the last 6 weeks.
So you're not moving
off of
that?
There is, between us, one of them has been the most optimistic about the defense figuring things out.
That's you, for sure.
And about the turnovers getting figured out. So how on earth, if I've been saying that for 6 weeks, how on earth can I not put the Chiefs still in there? Of course I'm going to
Nick,
go that
Nick, are you
going to
go the same round, huh?
I have all my options available. I have the Chargers.
Everybody.
I have the Chiefs. I have the Ravens. I already eliminated the Titans.
You are never going to choose them.
I'm going to be honest with you. I've known the two teams I was going to pick in the AFC for about 3 weeks. This is an easy one for me. I'm taking the Baltimore Ravens.
Ooh, you're going the Ravens.
Even with the Ronnie Stanley injury and everything.
I think Lamar Jackson is playing even better than he played in his MVP season. I think it's a complete team.
He's
a much better passer.
Yes, yep.
I just think he's one of the, I mean, he and Derrick Henry are the two most difficult guys to try and game plan for right now. And so I'll take Lamar Jackson. Baltimore Ravens versus the Buffalo Bills in my AFC title game.
Gold, lead us off in the NFC. We've both got some different ones. I mean, there's a good chance to screw it up.
So I so badly want to take the Dallas Cowboys.
Because Dak Prescott's playing incredible and their defense has been good.
I think they're legit. I'm a big believer in Dak. I've believed that he is one of the top tier quarterbacks in this league. But Mike McCarthy is still their head coach. And I am so terrified that come NFC divisional game or earlier than that, that he's going to continue, because we've seen it already this year, to make mistakes, whether it is decision-making process of going for certain fourth downs, just strictly play call. I love Kellen Moore as the play caller, but I still think Mike McCarthy has too much, you know, emphasis in hand in that. I don't trust Mike McCarthy. I think they've got the roster to go ahead and go to a Super Bowl, in fact. But I can't go Cowboys. I'm going back to a team that was just in the Super Bowl. Tom Brady's
Bucks.
Playing unbelievable right now. I'm going back to the Tampa Bay Bucks. So it's Packers, Bucks, Bills, Chiefs.
Oh, wow. What a shift from a season ago.
Yeah. I know.
He just before.
Has that ever happened in the history of the NFL?
I don't know.
Just saying. I said I'm going back to it. I wanted to pick the Cowboys. Can't do it.
You got Nick.
No, you.
Come on.
You're Cody. Cody.
Come on. You choose.
Okay.
You know what it is? I'm sick of watching Tom Brady, so I'm not going to choose the Bucs. I'll just tell you that now.
Oh.
I'll give you a little teaser there.
It's what you think happens or you don't want to happen? Because there's
both. Okay. Who cares? I can do whatever I want.
On the line here. The point is to win.
Yep.
Yeah, I understand that. So you're choosing the Bucs? Is that the take I'm getting here?
You know what? I am. I'm going to take the Dallas Cowboys.
There it is.
Wow.
I mean, I like the pick. It's just Mike McCarthy scares me to death.
And the thing is about that, I agree. I would say that Mike McCarthy has won a Super Bowl, and he did it because he had the best quarterback in the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
I think he currently has the best quarterback in the NFL. That's how good Dak Prescott is playing. I think that is good enough to overcome the late game decision making. I trust their defense a little bit more than I trust Tampa's defense. And that's what it ultimately comes down to. Tampa got so lucky. They were healthy all season. They're not this year. Their secondary is getting ravaged by injuries. I just don't know if I trust
the secondary is concerning.
So it's a coin flip for me. I'll give it to Dallas, fresh blood. So I've got Cowboys, Rams.
You know, I'll take the Bucks. I'm kidding. I don't actually want the Bucks.
Ha ha.
I don't want I was torn because, like, the Packers are a team that they're a little bit like the Chiefs of the NFC. Defensively, they've not been good enough, and I don't know that that's going to continue. And I don't know. I mean, it's not like, do I trust LaFleur way more than I trust McCarthy? It's not like I got way more evidence that he's there, other than the fact he's been to an NFC title game. McCarthy's had some teams that had success in Green Bay. Did he get to a lot of Super Bowls? No. Did they go to some NFC title games? Yeah, they did. He's an idiot coach. I don't disagree with any of that, but he's been to NFC title games. He can get to an NFC title game again. I am also going to go with the Cowboys.
Okay.
So
they're
we
locked
have the
in.
Same.
Wheel spins.
We don't have the same because you have the Ravens and I have the Chiefs. Nobody has the same four.
But gold is zagging here. Gold's is very different than yours and I's. We have three of four.
Yeah, we have three of four. Gold and I have two of the same. We just have two completely different NFC teams, which I'm honestly not surprised by just based on the fact that the NFC is incredibly wide open. Just to quickly establish some rules here.
There's only one question I have.
If one person gets three and the other two people tie for two, do they both spin? They have both lost.
Oh. Yeah, okay.
Do you see what I'm saying? If it's 3-2-1 or if it's 4-3-2, if
really
it is a tie for last place, do both people in last place spin?
I'll answer this question.
The other factor, though, is also do you...
Otherwise, we did all of this for nothing, so I think you have to.
The other part, though, do we want to add in, like, we're on this... If both your teams make it to the Super Bowl, though, does that... Do you get bonus points out of that?
No.
Yeah, why not?
What do you mean? We haven't even picked any Super Bowl
But basically,
teams.
if you're guessing who the four are, and if two of your four make it to the Super Bowl... Versus the other person that got none of them made a Super Bowl.
I could get all four teams right and both my teams lose in the NFC title game and I still lose the bet?
Well, to break
that
the tie.
That sounds horrible.
To break the tie.
We're not establishing new rules.
This
now.
Is a whole new. I'm just asking what happens in the case of a tie.
As we figure this out live.
In the case of a tie, I think it's both teams lose.
Let's have a vote. You say both teams lose.
Both teams lose.
I say both teams lose as well.
Oh, well.
Yeah, there's only one winner.
Yes. In my mind, there can still be just one loser who spins. But if those other two people, you've tied for last place.
Mm-hmm.
Like if one
That's
person gets
spins.
Three and the
That's
other two people.
That's two spins, for sure.
Each person spins. Otherwise, we did this entire thing all
two
year.
Two spins total, one a person.
Yes.
Correct.
But either way, we did all of this and nobody got punched at all. It feels like a huge letdown.
Okay. Yeah. The way it's set up, there's no way for it to be a flat out true tie across the board. So that's good. That would have been problematic if we all would have had
similar. I mean,
it could
be, but it'd have to be some weird NFC and AFC title games.
What if we're all
wrong? Because if the Titans make it,
it's actually Titans Chargers.
Titans Chargers. Nobody chose the Chargers, by the way.
What a terrible AFC title game.
Well, they scored 6 points in a game.
This is true.
That was just too much for you, huh?
And that was 3 days
ago. See, I wonder, though, if the Chargers would have beat the Ravens, I wonder how many of us would have flipped the Chargers and the Bills, maybe, or
the
Chargers
and the
Chiefs.
I was never going to take the Bills out.
It's a bad time to score 6 points for the Chargers as it pertains to this game.
Yes. I'm sure they're really worried about what three radio hosts in
we
Kansas
screwed
City
it up.
Are
Those
doing.
Guys were going to pick us and their elimination teams. And by the way, tomorrow is Survivor. Interesting decisions to be made in Survivor. Tomorrow.
Are there?
Oh, and there's some thought process.
I disagree.
Is everybody just going to be boring and go Arizona tomorrow?
Maybe
at 12:30.
Win 38-7.
Seven. So yeah, maybe.
There's a chance the next 2 weeks in our Survivor League. That everybody's going Arizona this week against Houston, and next week everybody goes KC against the Giants. That's boring.
Well, the Chiefs' schedule's really hard, and I'm not going to choose them against
Dallas.
Sometimes boring plays.
It's boring for 2 weeks. For 2 weeks, we're just going to coast through Survivor, and everybody's going to pick the same two teams. That's not fun.
I like Gold's adage on like being boring only relates to these things, not his food habits. It's like just eating peanut butter and jelly is boring, but I'm gonna stick with that. But you guys should choose some different teams to run up the excitement.
I don't think food can be all that boring, you know? I don't think so, you know?
I disagree.
I don't think so, you know? One of us's food decisions cost them, not mine. Just want to point that out.
That's true.
My boring food choice last night did not result in me going A.J. Brown, like someone else on this show.
Coming up
been
next.
A rough afternoon.
The best weapons they've faced next.
Cody and Gold, weekdays 10 to 2, 610 Sports Radio.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
What's trending?
All right, let's check in on the hot topics. Trending.
Number one on What's Trending, a little update from Andy Reid earlier today. You heard it live here on 610 Sports Radio with some injuries. Good news was Chris Jones and Charvarius Ward. go for practice today, right? How about that? That is something we haven't been able to say very often.
Not
this
for a
positive
few
step. Chris Jones with that wrist injury, Charvarius Ward with the quad injury. Although there were still a handful of guys that did not practice, including Tyreek Hill, the quad. Anthony Hitchens are calling it a triceps injury, and then Joe Tooney, the hand. Tooney, he can not practice all week.
Hill
good.
Too.
And Hill's probably in the same boat. Tooney, especially because he already fractured the hand. The hand's not getting worse. It's only going to keep getting better at this point. So, like, Tooney, I'm not worried about. And also Michael Burton dealing with a pec injury, and we'll see where that goes. They don't run the fullback all that much anyway.
Why are you just dismissing fullbacks?
I mean, I wish him the best, but they'll be okay if the fullback can't go. Yeah.
Fair enough. Next up on What's Trending, if you had any hope of Whitney Merciless coming to town, well, reports from Aaron Wilson and Jeremy Fowler now say that Whitney Merciless is set to sign with the Packers. Now, you assume Fowler got it from his agent because he said he could have signed for more, but he chose to go to the Packers instead. Also, he was caught up with the media yesterday. If you listen to him, he said going to a contender at this stage of his career was important. And I understand that. If you're getting cut at this stage, you're hoping to go catch on and win a Super Bowl with somebody. He chose the Packers to be that team. They also have pass rush issues. Not surprising they were another candidate for his services along with Kansas City.
Yeah, I mean, essentially, he passed up more money, so I would imagine.
Well, I mean, a bad team could have offered him more money, not Kansas City.
Right, that's what I'm saying. So, like, if the money was the same, we don't even know this, right? But if the money was the same between the Chiefs and the Packers, kind of interesting his thought process on, obviously, both are contenders, but why he would choose the Packers. We don't ultimately know if the Chiefs ever offered him a contract. We have no idea. We know there was mutual interest, yep, though, at to some extent. Next up on What's Trending, big news in recruiting for Missouri Tigers fans. How about Luther Burden, a five-star wide receiver from East St. Louis, Illinois, committed to Missouri. The Tigers beating out Alabama and Georgia. This is the second highest recruit other than DGB. We all know he was fantastic before he had some legal problems at Missouri. Helped them win an SEC East Division title. So
last time they won one of those.
They're hoping this is DGB all over again, minus the other stuff. But in terms of what he was able to do on the field, absolutely. Big get for Eli Drinkwitz.
Well, he's the number one wide receiver recruit in the entire country. So it's not just five-star. It's the level of recruit he is.
Yeah.
Well, that's how you should be able to recruit at the SEC level. Good sign for Eli Drinkwitz, as he's continued to be a very good recruit overall. The team on the field this year stinks out loud. They cannot play defense at all, but it takes a few years to kind of turn things around. This is a good sign, at least, that he's got the kind of talent he needs to compete at the SEC level. Luther Burden is good as a get as he's gotten at any level.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, this is one of those where it sets you up where you'll be able to really judge them in a year or so because they're going to have.
Might help you recruit other players too, which matters.
The question will be, because nobody should. Eli Drinkwitz can recruit. Nobody can doubt that. Certainly not after what happened. You're going to find out in a year or two, can he coach at the SEC level? That's what you'll find out in the next year or two. No problem with recruiting. It's unbelievable what he's been able to bring in there.
Yeah, he's going to have, I think at this point, it looks like he might have a top 15 class by the time this thing ends. Pretty good on that, and especially considering how good Missouri's been on the field. Next up on What's Trending, Dodgers winners over the Braves last night, 6-5 in their series in the afternoon slate. Astros win 9-2 after scoring 7 runs in the 9th inning before that in that poorly umpired game. Both teams do play again today. The Astros-Dodgers starting just a little after 4 o'clock with a chance to go up in that series again. And then we'll have a chance. I'm sorry, the Astros starting here just at about 4 o'clock. And then we'll get the Dodgers game later tonight against the Braves.
Lastly, on What's Trending, just more of an update on former Washington State football coach Nick Rolovich, who was fired by the university for violating the state's COVID-19 mandate, which required you by a certain date to be vaccinated. He now, as reportedly, will look into legal action against the university. That'll be something that drags on for quite some time, I would imagine. That is What's Trending here on Cody and Gold. Looking at the Titans, and this is skill position players only, this is the toughest test from a skill position standpoint that the Chiefs defense have seen. Of course, Josh Allen's a much better quarterback than Ryan Tannehill. Lamar Jackson, much better quarterback than Ryan Tannehill. Not making that argument. But if you just look at the running backs and wide receivers the Chiefs are going to have to face, and Julio Jones is possibly questionable for Sunday. But A.J. Brown, Julio Jones, and Derrick Henry, that's as good of a skill position set the Chiefs have faced. It's better than Stephon Diggs, Zach Moss, and Emmanuel Sanders. Right? It's better, as good as that rushing attack of Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt were, it's better still to me than that. It's better than Lamar Jackson and random four-string running back and all that. Like the quarterback out of the equation, this is the best skill position set the Chiefs have faced. This is why they have an opportunity to show that the defense did truly make progress, and it wasn't just Taylor Heinicke not having anybody other than Terry McLaurin to throw the football to on a bad team. This is the best skill position group the Chiefs have faced.
Well, then good. It's a real test, right? You want to find out if what they did against Washington is in any way real? Here you go. Because Tannehill is a perfectly fine quarterback who's perfectly capable of beating you. And you've just pointed out how good their skill position players can be. I mean, none more probably than Derrick Henry, an absolute machine.
Yeah, he's a freak.
It's hard to imagine that a person is that large and fast. Like, he would have been good at any position on the field. If they had made him a defensive end from the beginning, he's both big and strong enough and faster than any defensive end who exists. So it doesn't make any sense. But it's this part, like, I view it as a real test. You've got Green Bay and Dallas, we know, over the next month or so. Those offenses are even better than what we're seeing in Tennessee right now overall. And look, maybe your answer would be Aaron Jones and Devontae Adams would be better than this grouping you're getting ready to see, or Amari Cooper and Ezekiel Elliott, right? You're getting ready to see some units that mirror or are better than this exact unit you're seeing, and with better quarterback play. So if you want to find out if anything actually changed on defense, here you go. Because if it didn't, time to start scoring all the time, consistently. And no more of this 30-point-a-game stuff, which seems crazy, but 35 to 40 points per game to make sure or ensure that you're going to win a majority of those.
And look, the Titans' defense stinks, so I'm not too concerned about the Chiefs' ability to score on Tennessee. Their defense stinks. They came up with a goal line stop. They absolutely get credit for that against Buffalo. But the Tennessee defense stunk going into that game, and they've got injuries all over the place as well. On the text line, 913-576-7610, someone said, I would debate the Chargers are better than Herbert, Keenan Allen, Mike Williams, and Eckler.
Again, take the quarterback.
We're talking about just talking about the skill position. Of course, if it's quarterback,
then the Bills are also better.
Correct. Yeah, that's why I pointed out.
Or if it's quarterback, the Ravens might also be better because he's the better
question is, Keenan Allen matched up with A.J. Brown. Mike Williams matched up with Julio Jones. Austin Eckler matched up with Derrick Henry. Who's the better group? I think it's no question. It's the Tennessee Titans.
The thing is, though, they are inevitably held back by what is pretty average quarterback play. Like, Tannehill's had some really good years. I'm not trying to downplay his entire. He's had a career resurgence.
Where does he rank in the quarterbacks the Chiefs have faced? Obviously, Josh Allen and Lamar at the top of the list. Herbert's at the top of the list. He's better than Jalen Hurts. He's better than Taylor Heinicke. I think Tannehill's better than
He's fourth
Baker Mayfield.
Best,
yeah.
Fifth, depending on where you rate Baker Mayfield.
Yeah.
Versus healthy or hurt Baker Mayfield. But Tannehill's not having to start the season. Certainly had last year. We had 33 touchdowns and 7 picks. But Derrick Henry's had an even more incredible start to the season that we've seen there. But so, like, the skill position players are a real test, but the quarterback is going to be the person who determines if they're that in normal cases. The entire swing thing in this is Ryan Tannehill does not have to be perfect for Derrick Henry to be a monster. And the Chiefs, and I've told you, the Chiefs are, you know, like Derrick Henry, they win all the time when he gets more than 113 yards. We know that. That's not surprising. You could say that about most teams, because if you're running that much anymore in the modern NFL, you're probably winning a lot of games.
I still maintain, even if he gets 113 yards against the Chiefs, I don't think that automatically means the Chiefs lose this game.
What if he gets 150? They're 11-0 when he gets 159.
Yeah, but as people, and we talk about, and there is fair point, like, there's some context to that as well. Like, typically, if you're getting 150 yards, right? If you're getting 150 yards,
a lot of other things are going well. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, and so you probably have the lead.
You
probably have the lead late. I don't, because it was the same conversation we did have in the AFC title game. It was like, hey, would you sign me up right now for Derrick Henry under, you know, 100 yards rushing? And so many people were like, yeah, sign me up for that. And so I don't think it's a done deal. Like, man, if the Chiefs go into the game and they give up 120 yards, 110 yards to Derrick Henry, they can't win. I disagree, because I think the Chiefs offense is going to be able to put up plenty of points. It's the turnovers that I would say, oh, does Derrick Henry run for 120 and you turn it over two times? Yeah, that spells disaster for Kansas City. But if Derrick Henry runs for 120, the Chiefs protect the ball, then I think the game is still up in the air for both sides. And I don't think it's as simple as Derrick Henry runs for that and the game's over. No.
I just think that what you're talking about kind of goes hand in hand. Like, normally, when a guy runs for 150, other things are going well. So if Derrick Henry runs for 150, other things are going well.
Yeah, but they
well.
Don't face the Chiefs' offense. That's the difference. How many times have they faced the Chiefs' offense?
And the Chiefs have the league-worst running defense to this point in the NFL. So, you know,
And they lost. They did lose to the Jets. I know they didn't have A.J. Brown and Julio Jones, so they did lose to the Jets just 2 weeks ago. So this is not – and Derrick Henry had like 157 in that game. So it is by no means an automatic if you give up over 100 yards to Derrick Henry that you're losing the game.
I kind of like teams even less than that, right? Because I hate not knowing what you are. Okay, so you just beat what we universally consider the best team in the AFC. But 2 weeks ago, you lost to the Jets? The New York Jets? The worst team in the NFL, possibly? Jets? That's who you lost to? It's confusing. What are you? Like you said, they got tons of weapons. They got Derrick Henry. Tannehill hasn't played great. He didn't play good in that Jets game, so that's part of the reason they lost. Derrick Henry still got his, as you've pointed out. So that's it. And they're not letting up. The Chiefs are not, technically yardage-wise per game, they're not the worst rushing defense in the NFL, but efficiency-wise, they are. It just depends on how you look at it. They've been bad enough in the pass game that they, you know, to help save their run defense a little bit, probably on that end. Believe it or not, the Chargers are the league's worst rushing yards per game defense in the entire NFL.
After what Lamar Jackson did against them this past weekend.
Didn't help.
Yeah.
Definitely didn't help.
Guys from that were in the Pro Bowl in 2016 or whatever had three rushing touchdowns, I think it was, against the Chargers this past
week. That was like, it was like a laundry list of like former who's in that
Bell
department.
And Murray and Foreman.
But I do view it as, if you can do anything defensively in the rushing attack, like if you held them to 110 yards, and then it's, if you do okay in the passing attack, then I can start seeing tangible change in the defense. Because this defense is kind of designed to, this offense is designed to beat you, right? The Titans do well what you do worse, at least in the running back department. The one change in that is tight end. So unless Anthony Firkser goes off.
Well, Nick needs that to happen.
120 yards.
He needs 114 yards God for willing. Nick to not lose the bet. I'm going to laugh so hard. Like, obviously, I obviously hope the Chiefs win. But if it's the fourth quarter and Firkser's got like 95 yards receiving and you guys are sweating out this Nick Firkser, or not Nick,
Anthony Firkser.
Nick sweating at it. Maybe it'll be Nick.
Nick's going to change his last name to Firkser. If
he goes
through
6 for 110 and 2 touchdowns, I'm going to be so pissed.
You'll be untenable. Like, you'll be so upset. That's a real risk with the Chiefs.
Going to get an Anthony Firkser jersey for Nick.
I'd rather him just not get a single catch. Honestly.
I see what you're saying. Don't even tease.
Get 110 yards.
You don't want the tease at all.
Exactly.
If he had 1 for 11, you're like, whatever. It's the fourth quarter. He's got 1 for 11 yards. Not going to come down to bite you. He only has like 10 catches on the season. So
you guys have over. Basically, the bet is over under 100.
There's no way. I actually kind of feel bad because there's no way. I'm not going to go back on the bet. I don't feel that bad.
I don't feel that bad.
But it's just like, there's no way you could have assumed that Anthony Firkser's best day was like 113
yards. Just love how it's like, he's going to need like a career day in order. And that would be
like 64 yards.
which,
by the way, would have been a real sweat for me. Like, that would have been like, 60 yards. I mean, yeah, it is the Chiefs defense against tight ends.
And honestly, if Sorensen were still out there, I would think there's still a chance he's going to get loose.
On the 113.
He's going to get loose.
Neiman's still out there.
You needed a busted coverage. He's Ricky Seals-Jones. Like Jones. You need that to happen twice, though.
What happened to Dawson Knox?
Dawson Knox had 3 catches for like 140 yards.
It happened in 2 consecutive weeks.
You need that to happen.
Damn. I should have looked up his career high before I was willing to guarantee a career game from him. And honestly, career game is...
Anthony Firkser enjoys pencil drawings, jigsaw puzzles, and playing online collectible card games.
You know, the more I think about it, the more I think that career
it's on his
game...
bio on the Titans website.
Did I say career high or did I say career game?
You said career high.
I think I said career game. I think I may have said career game, because if he does go for like 6 for 102 touchdowns, that's a career game.
Oh.
He had plenty of time to back out of it. Don't let him try to talk himself out of it.
Alex, tomorrow when Cody's gone, you and I will hash this out.
Smart. Real quick side note for the Chiefs practice, by the way. Nate Taylor says, in the open portion of practice, Tyrann Mathieu had a heavy padding on his right thumb. Remember, he tweeted he had fractured his thumb and then deleted said tweet.
I do think it's hilarious.
But
he's
at practice, so it's hard to imagine that it's not going to
That injury has not been mentioned once by the Chiefs.
Well, they probably should mention on the injury report or they're going to get fined by the NFL.
I'm guessing that even though, because Andy was asked who's practicing, I bet you
at the
end of today's practice on the report that comes out, he's probably going to have to mention. But if he's not limited, it's weird because he's not limited at practice.
I don't, I mean... There's probably some gray area that exists.
He's gonna play through the fracture. He's a safety. He's gonna play through a fractured thumb.
Correct.
As simple.
He wasn't even mentioned in the injury listing today, but he's got the heavy tape on the thumb. He said he fractured his thumb, so it doesn't feel like it's that crazy. This is not reckless speculation. He tweeted that.
He deleted it, but he did tweet it out. Yep. He's got a fractured thumb. Plain and simple.
Gold just made this. He's leaving no gray area left.
His own tweet and then Nate Taylor mentioning that he saw the wrap. It's clear as day. That's obviously what happened.
Clear as day.
Yes. The player said he has a fractured thumb.
That's really the selling point.
Reports
here
also say there is wrapping on that same thumb. I mean, I'm no injury expert here, but something tells me there might be a fractured thumb.
We just got to cover all our bases.
That's right.
Once you play
the reckless speculation, we're allowed to say whatever we want. Really, we talked to the legal department. They're like, as long as you play that sounder, you guys can say whatever you want about anybody, and nobody can get in trouble. You should almost carry that around with you, just in your daily life. Like, just play that, and you can say anything about anybody. And
you're allowed to curse too.
There's no consequences. Cool. Yeah, we can do that on the show. If Nick plays that, then I can say bleep you, and it doesn't matter.
Bleep's not a bad word, though.
Oh.
Really,
you have the dump button ready?
That's how that's legal. Hmm. It's a little bit different on this end, isn't it? He's obviously fine, I guess. I don't know. How many players are the Chiefs going to play?
He's obviously fine,
Nick,
I guess.
You come into
I don't know.
How many players are the Chiefs going to play with like a cast on their arm? Are they thinking like they want to get to like three or four before they decide?
Well, doesn't this significantly impact
his ability to tackle? You would think so.
I would think his ability to catch interceptions.
Seems like it would also hurt that.
I would think that the chances of the Chiefs turning the Titans over this weekend
just
decreased.
I'd be a little more willing to throw at Tyrann Mathieu because even if he's close, what's the worst case scenario? He only has one hand.
He'll bat it down.
I mean, maybe he could
stick the club in the
air. It said padding. It didn't say club. He's not in the full cast like Joe Tooney.
This is true.
It's just the thick
Nick, would
club.
Would you be
They put a lot of gluey substance on those gloves. Just give him a chance.
Would you be in at work tomorrow if you fractured their thumb after work? He's at practice. How dare you
ask him that on a day that he battled through
What we believe to be food poisoning.
You have an A.J. Brown situation. A.J. Brown mentioned that he's got food poisoning. He also sent another tweet out that says that he's never eating fast food again. And Nick's dealing with, although yours wasn't fast food. Yours,
no.
You made it yourself.
Yeah. Hmm. Which makes it even more problematic.
You guys give me crap.
I wouldn't eat the leftovers.
Cooking food or not. One of
I
us
powered
is
through.
Sick,
I saw.
You know?
I saw the second half that AJ Brown had on Monday Night Football, and I thought, if he can do it, then so can I. If he can play this stupid little football game, then I can go on and do a job that really matters.
Yeah, exactly.
Because AJ Brown, after the game, and now actually 17 out, I will never eat fast food in my life. Again.
Wait, I thought we established that Chipotle doesn't count as fast food.
I agree. I mean, I'm going to quote tweet him right now. Like, that's Chipotle is fast casual, sir.
AJ, that's respectful. That way he's being respectful.
I'll quote tweet and be like, AJ, Chipotle is not fast food. I'll type it right now.
It's fast casual. Get it right. And you know what? We don't want you there anyway.
I had it yesterday.
After you disparaged.
I had it yesterday. It was fantastic. Stomach
feeling
feels
good.
It was full. It was great. Probably going to get it again after the show.
How often
a
week do you get it?
Four days a week.
At least 4 days a week. And I think I have enough points now for a free one today. So it's all good. It's
so
on the house.
So does this count as lunch or dinner when you get it after lunch?
Yeah. It's both.
It's kind of, honestly, Fesco asked me the same question yesterday. It is usually dinner as well. That's why I go there. It actually fills me up for across the. If
so
I go,
you eat one meal after the show and you're good for the rest of the day.
I'll have a snack at home, like around 8:30. I'll probably eat some chips,
some Totitos,
some string cheese.
Are you serious?
Some goldfish, some
These
Hershey
are the
bars.
Same things he eats.
Some Gatorade, some Propel. Since Nick thinks
he
that's
has
weird
the
too.
The saddest fridge I've ever seen.
Right now, there's, what's
the, you've I, seen the fridge?
Nothing.
Right now in the fridge, there's I think a 6-pack, a water pitcher, some string cheese. That might be it right now.
It's so empty,
Wait,
man.
So you always have string cheese on deck?
Well, the only time I've been to his house, he had string cheese. So
yeah,
I'm going to assume it's...
I really like string cheese, yeah. So good, to me, it's like you just need... it's 8:45 at night. You're like, oh, have a string cheese. Good to go.
Okay.
Text line. Dude, I'm right there with you. Chipotle 3 to 5 times a week. There you go.
I've got expenses that do not
I don't have kids.
4 days a week.
I do not have kids.
We only got a couple minutes left in the show. Have you guys decided what song I need to learn by next week?
So we got a lot of good suggestions. Cody has to sing karaoke next week. What are the songs?
So
during the really bad half hour? I guess you'll be gone.
I'm gone next Friday. You're gone the next 2 days, so.
Maybe a Thursday.
Do you have do you have like a leader in the clubhouse for you?
I mean,
I'll stay out of this. Let you guys figure this out.
Yeah, I mean, I was listening to a couple during the break today. Cody was hearing them too, and I was trying to judge his reaction, like if he thinks he's getting off too easy.
I already told you Love Shack was too easy.
So. I do think My Heart Will Go On is tempting. I think that's.
I don't like that one.
I think that's tempting.
I think that will be cringeworthy.
Well, that's kind of.
Yeah, for us even though.
For everyone.
I don't think I'll even laugh. I'll be so dismayed I won't be able to laugh.
I Feel Like a Woman from Shania Twain. That's got to
be
in the mix.
Natural Woman by Aretha Franklin more than I Feel Like a Woman.
It's getting the same make me say I'm a woman vibe.
Because like you said, you brought up earlier, Alex, it's funnier the slower because he gets into the fast, bumpy songs. And Shania Twain's kind of like fast and poppy, and I feel like he'll enjoy that too much. I like Keep On Loving You by REO Speedwagon.
See, I think that's too enjoyable of a song for him to sing. That's not that bad. I think that's too enjoyable for Cody. Genie in a Bottle is another suggestion for
what
the text line.
What about More Than Words by Extreme?
I'd have to hear that. I'd have to hear it.
Well, we don't have time to play it today. We've got.
So you guys are not going to make this decision in the next 30 seconds is what this feels like.
We're going to put up a poll question after the show today with four options. And whatever wins that is what you'll have to see next week. How about that? So be following at 610 Sports
Take KC. Take it to the people.
We will get a poll question up, and that's how we'll decide this thing. And then next week, I think next Wednesday maybe is the day that you have to sing it because I will be gone for the
final
we'll be about half hour at that point. I Will Always Love You, Whitney Houston. I mean, there's some more coming through. Four options.
The Bodyguard
Nick and I will talk after the show. We will make that work.
I guess be ready to vote at 610sportskc.com.
Of course, coming up after us, Carrington Harrison on The Drive. Pete Sweeney going to join them at 3 o'clock. Tomorrow on the show, really excited to have Jerick McKinnon. He's going to stop by around 10:30 or so. Chiefs running back Jerick McKinnon. We'll talk to him about maybe an increased load that he can continue to see going forward. And someone that I would imagine is rooting for the Atlanta Braves, man. He's from Atlanta. The Braves are in the NLCS, so we'll get to that tomorrow on Cody and Gold.
Gold, weekdays 10 to 2, 610 Sports Radio.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.